Welcome to Golden Ya Hot and Air Curl Up, where at the comfort of your seat, you'll be catered with innovative self-help and self-love, trending information, sex storytelling, and fun tips. I am an expert on self-image boosting, advisor, a skin holistic specialist, Black woman motivational speaker, a mom, and a wife. I'm obsessed with helping you achieve the possibilities in living your best life.
Madame Leveau walked the length of the room while she was talking with her arms folded on her back of her waist, looking at the pictures of the tortured women on the wall. A study from an old scientist here at Morehale revealed that a kind of face a woman finds attractive on a man can differ, depending on her menstrual cycle. You see, when she is ovulating, she's attracted to the rugged and big build. However, if she's bleeding on her period or she's menopausal, she tends to be attracted to a man with duct tape on his face, over his mouth, and a sharp spear lodged at his chest while he's being electrocuted. No further studies are expected on this subject anymore.
Madame Leveau stopped in front of me, staring into my face, smiling wide.
She proceeded to pick up the white rabbit that was on my laps and looked at it delicately, pouting her lips like she wanted to kiss it, and said, while staring at it, "You, my dear, watched a butler being strangled to death by a snake. Watch how the animal broke his neck, didn't you? And you did absolutely
nothing." "Look, lady,
nothing.
I don't know what you're talking about," I lied, "or what the hell is going on. But right now, I need you to release me and my friends."
She turned to me emotionally while I was speaking, took the rabbit violently, and broke it at its middle, at the little creature's ribs. She placed the suffering, dying animal on an altar, lit a candle, and placed a rose close to its body, and placed a huge glass jar on it with bold letters written on the glass jar reading, "Butterfly." I, Mira, and Nova were dumbfounded.
"Now that I have your attention..."
Oh, my apologies. How rude of me not to explain the rules clearly here in Morehale. 408, you see. You're allowed to speak when spoken to.
Madame Leveau then nodded
to her assistant nurse, who was standing near a surgical tool table where there was a bone saw, a scalpel, rib cutters. I watched how she took a tray, used a huge scissors meant for a butcher, cut a piece of white cloth, laid the green syringe Mira spoke about that Lawrence was holding. Prototype XOO. The nurse walked over to Madame Leroy, standing close to her in front of me with the tray and a prepared needle. Madame Leveau looked over at me and said, "Inject her with a needle. This one here, with a smart mouth." "In the wishes of Mr. H. Cannon and Mr. Powdervine, we don't need her activating it on her own will
or own terms.
The other one needs her fetus to be surgically removed and activated, and she will be planted." As she looked at Nova,
we tried as the nurse walked toward,
and Madame Leveau looked. She smiled malevolently at all three of us.
The nurse took my arm and stuck the needle violently.
The pain of the needle made me jerk my arm off the arm stool of the wheelchair, took the needle right out of the arm of the nurse and out of my arm, and stabbed it into her eye.
Madame Lardouville rushed to her aid as she laid on the floor, struggling with the needle stuck in her eye.
With my other hand, I freed myself and then freed Mira. The three of us started running towards the door as Madame Lardouville turned and said,
"You will never get out of here alive. And if you do, Mr. H. Kernon will hunt you to the last day
Nova
of his."
Stepped forward and punched Madame Lardouville in the face. She fell unconsciously on the body of the stabbed nurse. There was a moment of silence as we looked at the bodies on the floor and then looked at each other's faces. We needed to run. We ran into a dark hall that stretched for miles, didn't know where we were going, scared, disorientated, and hopeful, scared out of our wits. Running in a dark hall. Where was the door leading outside? And suddenly, a young nurse stood before us. The three of us stopped running.
The nurse stood in front of us, staring, about to turn us in. Looking at her face, she looked different than the other nurses. Her face was much fresher, youthful. Her uniform was cleaner, and saw her name tag, Branch, Susan Branch. My mind drifted further away from Moorhill, suddenly in a cleaner place, a kitchen. On the kitchen counter table was a copy of a Susan Branch magazine with a cherry cake ingredients. 2.5 cups of flour, 3 teaspoons baking powder, 1.5 teaspoon salt, 2.5 cup shortening, 1 cup sugar, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 cup of unbeaten egg whites, 1/4 cup juice, 16 cut up cherries. My cherry cake had 42 cut up cherries, since I love much more. My body was much more. My appetite for food, my love for food was much more. The name of the nurse reminded me of what I took for granted, a piece of cherry cake. The love for freedom. What did Nova love besides power? What did Mira love besides a successful career? Now in captive of a madman hands, how I wish I said much more to myself. I love your stomach. Love your thighs. Love your arms. Love your smile. Love your nose. Love your hands. Love your legs. Love your eyes. Love your face. Love your body.
How silly it seemed. I wish I said much more love to myself because I wanted to live.
Nova, Onitoptera, Mira, right?
Follow me.
Our twisted perception of knowing that this woman was part of the enemy turned into gratitude. We followed her and ran into a big hall where there is a bus, an outside compound of Moorhill where the bus stood. We hid behind a big dumpster to make sure the coast was clear. Even though it was dark and at night, there were still guards all over the place. Time was of essence. "Why are you helping us?" asked the nurse.
She kept staring at the darkness, seeing if there was anyone there without answering me or facing me. "Because this place is a monstrous place with violent acts that needs to be reported. The women held here need to be freed."
Wait, there are more?
More women like...
"Yes,
there are, but not like you, Onitoptera. You have now the ability to do incredible things. You know what I'm talking about. You must be sensitive."
I had no idea what she was talking about.
"Your superhuman strength, the power of flight and speed, your enhanced senses and reflexes.
Everything went too fast for me. I had time to think. I didn't have time."
Quickly, we ran towards the bus. I sat behind the wheel trying to start the bus. Mira next to me and Nova and the nurse at the back of the van. Suddenly, the compound light went on and the door flung open. Lauren stood there with a machine gun with Madame Lourva next to him. The darn bus wouldn't start. I heard the guards running towards us as Lawrence began to shoot. Nova and the nurse started to close the door.
The bus finally started.
I drove as fast as I could out of this hellish compound.
We drove into freedom. So much happiness, so much joy on our faces. Out on the bayou, on the dirt road, to the highway, Nova was smiling. And I to her, a mirror at me. Tears of joy, of unbelief that we made it. We escaped barely with our lives. I could see the highway and I could see other cars. My eyes was in tears in unbelief. I was finally going to see my son. Nova was smiling from ear to ear, looking at the road ahead, the rear mirror of the car behind me. Her face was indifferent, looking at the nurse.
She's shot.
Nova quickly turned from her passenger seat as we both simultaneously saw the shot nurse bleeding heavily. My eyes turned back to the road. That spiteful, ruthless Lauren. The mood suddenly changed from happiness to solemn.
That monster. I can't believe I loved him. I'm carrying his baby. She needs a hospital.
Mira turned to me shouting.
She needs a hospital now.
No. No hospitals. Keep driving.
Juanita Obtera, your husband, has the resources to track you down wherever you go. So ditch the car as soon as possible. Make sure to walk only in the forest. Travel by day and sleep by night.
Face turned completely pale as her blood was gushing out of her side of her belly. There was a sad humanity of silence. Mira held her hand tearfully.
Oni Tuptera, don't forget this. The only way to protect your loved ones, your friends around you, the people you love, is to always live close to the woods, the mahogany tree. Except who you are and what you're
meant. The answer to this pandemic is in your blood and in the fluids of the child Mira is carrying.
She coughed and her head fell to the side with her eyes slightly open. Her coughing had stopped.
We need to get out of the road. They'll be looking for us. In front of the three of us lay the massive, enormous Moorhill forest. Everywhere was trees. What we didn't know was the drone flying far above us in the shape of a butterfly.
Wow, thank you Golden Uchis for listening to Golden Ya, Hot Air, and Curl Up, where we'll be sharing interesting stories or spicy ones, relationship, self-love in form of affirmations. You'll also be getting amazing interviews from people with real-life incorrigible experiences or experts. My initial goal is to bring our community together. Anywhere you are in the world, you're very welcome. My email is beautyshophgoldenya@gmail.com. If you have suggestions or information, articles, stories you would like me to share on, they're very welcome. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and comment this episode on any podcast you come across. Thank you. Love, peace, and coconut water.